Chapter the First, The New Source of Energy. Section 1. The problem, which had already been mooted by such scientific men as Ramsay, Rutherford and Soddy, in the very beginning of the 20th century, the problem of inducing radioactivity in the heavier elements and so tapping the internal energy of atoms, was solved by a wonderful combination of induction, intuition and luck by Halston so soon as the year 1933. From the first detection of radioactivity to its first subjugation to human purpose measured little more than a quarter of a century. For 20 years after that, indeed, minor difficulties prevented any striking practical application of his success, but the essential thing was done. This new boundary in the march of human progress was crossed in that year. He set up atomic disintegration in a minute particle of bismuth. It exploded with great violence into a heavy gas of extreme radioactivity, which disintegrated in its turn in the course of 7 days. And it was only after another year's work that he was able to show practically that the last results of this rapid release of energy was gold. But the thing was done, at the cost of a blistered chest and an injured finger, and from the moment when the invisible speck of bismuth flashed into writhing and rending energy, Halston knew that he had opened a way for mankind, however narrow and dark it might still be, to worlds of limitless power. He recorded as much in the strange diary biography he left the world, a diary that was up to that particular moment a mass of speculations and calculations, and which suddenly became for a space an amazingly minute and human record of sensations and emotions that all humanity might understand. He gives, in broken phrases and often single words, it is true, but nonetheless vividly for that, a record of the 24 hours following the demonstration of the correctness of his intricate tracery of computations and guesses. "I thought I should not sleep," he writes. The words he omitted are supplied in brackets. "On account of pain in the hand and chest, and the wonder of what I had done, slept like a child." He felt strange and disconcerted the next morning. He had nothing to do. He was living alone in apartments in Bloomsbury, and he decided to go up to Hampstead Heath, which he had known when he was a little boy as a breezy playground. He went up by the underground tube that was then the recognised means of travel from one part of London to another, and walked up Heath Street from the tube station to the open heath. He found it a gully of planks and scaffoldings between the hoardings of house wreckers. The spirit of the times had seized upon that narrow, steep and winding thoroughfare, and was in the act of making it commodious and interesting, according to the remarkable ideals of Neo-Georgian aestheticism. Such is the illogical quality of humanity that Halston, fresh from work that was like a petard under the seat of current civilization, saw these changes with regret. He had come up Heath Street perhaps 1,000 times, had known the windows of all the little shops, spent hours in the vanished cinematograph theatre, and marvelled at the high-flung early Georgian houses upon the westward bank of that old gully of a thoroughfare. He felt strange with all these familiar things gone. He escaped at last with a feeling of relief from this choked alley of trenches and holes and cranes, and emerged upon the old familiar scene about the white stone pond. That, at least, was very much as it used to be. There were still the fine old red brick houses to left and right of him. The reservoir had been improved by a portico of marble. The white-fronted inn with the clustering flowers above its portico still stood out at the angle of the ways, and the blue view to Harrow Hill and Harrow Spire, a view of hills and trees and shining waters and wind-driven cloud shadows, was like the opening of a great window to the ascending Londoner. All that was very reassuring. There was the same strolling crowd, the same perpetual miracle of motors dodging through it harmlessly, escaping headlong into the country from the sabbatical stuffiness behind and below them. There was a band still, a woman's suffrage meeting, for the suffrage women had won their way back to the tolerance, a trifle derisive of the populace again. Socialist orators, politicians, a band, and the same wild uproar of dogs, frantic with the gladness of their one blessed weekly release from the backyard and the chain. And away along the road to the Spaniards strode a vast multitude, saying, as ever, that the view of London was exceptionally clear that day. Young Halston's face was white. He walked with that uneasy affectation of ease that marks an overstrained nervous system in an under-exercised body. He hesitated at the white stone pond whether to go to the left of it or the right.